Welcome to the Friends with Fantasy Benefits Baseball Podcast. I'm your host of the Push Accept Podcast, Ben Brennis, joined tonight by Colin Weatherwax. How are you doing, Colin?
Doing great, Ben. How are you?
I'm doing good. It's been a couple of days since we talked. Anything new happening with you, Colin?
No. Same old stuff. Watching baseball right now. Been watching baseball the past couple of days.
Yeah, well, it is baseball season, so that's a good thing to do. It's either that or go play Cars for Kids, right?
Yeah.
We also have a guest appearance tonight, Colin, and that's our own Evan Peterson, who seems to follow us wherever we go. How are you doing, Evan?
I'm doing well. Ask and ye shall receive. I, expressed interest in coming on the podcast, and look what happens. The universe rewards you with generous things. How are you doing, Benjamin?
I'm doing good, yeah. I'm glad that the universe was able to give us our 12th choice for this episode. So, it's always nice to have things bounce our way.
Hey, sometimes you don't always get what you want, but you get what you need.
Or that's true. We did need a crazy Braves fan on this podcast. We did need that. So, we could have had Smata, who would have been talking about Acuna the entire time, but instead we get you to talk about Acuna the entire time. Colin, we probably should just stop bringing on Braves fans.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea, because especially tonight with how they look. So,
yeah. Albie's over Acuna, don't at me.
But no, Evan, we're glad to be able to get you on. Our goal at the end of the season is to try to get everyone from Friends with Fantasy Benefits on at least one show. We'd say like Brad Wells, who's supposedly one of the original people of the show, to actually make an appearance on the show, but one day at a time, right?
Does he get like a producer credit or something like that?
He gets absolutely nothing. As of right now, we think that he's clinically deceased, because we don't know what's happened to him. He's always at softball or got something with his kids. He's a busy real life person that doesn't have time to podcast with us geeks, apparently.
Death by social life. What a way to go.
Exactly. We all clearly love to be able to come and just talk about trades for an hour, so that's why we're here, isn't it?
Definitely. Escape from reality.
Colin, why don't you tell our listeners where you can be reached on Twitter?
You can find me at CWeatherwax13 and send any trades that you've made in your leagues, send them there. That way they can make the show.
And what about you, Evan?
At Ev FWFB, or in the reviews of this podcast, 5 stars is pretty much a sun button for me. So go ahead.
And I can be reached at BBrennis FWFB. Colin, just like you said, we always appreciate listeners sending us some trades. We have a couple listener trades that we're going to discuss today. So, keep on sending those in so we can discuss them for our listeners. We always appreciate what you guys bring to the table, and I'm sure that you guys would like to be able to get some further analysis on trades that you've completed. So without further ado, why don't we jump in? The first trade that we have is James Paxton for Travis Shaw and Jacob Faria in the 20-team Dynasty League. So, Evan, what is your thought on this deal?
I think I want the Paxton side, and I know it's easy to discount him for the injuries and, whatnot. He's got ace upside. Like, if you told me that from this point on, James Paxton finished as a top 10 starting pitcher in the league, I would want to see what kind of odds you're going to give me on that, because I think he's got the possibility of doing it. Travis Shaw, I think he's got streaky upside, and I think he's on one of those hot streaks right now, and I really do like what Milwaukee has in the lineup, but I'm just kind of some of his other numbers as far as like his batting average being floated by like the 7 home runs that he hit, or his lack of batting average. And Faria, he's an okay throw-in piece. He's had a fairly easy schedule to date, and he still hasn't produced fantastic results, even though he has reproduced the ability to flip a lineup. I think I want the ace, and it's kind of one of those things. I wonder if it's a DL thing where this extra, because it's not a 2-for-2, or who, he might be dropping. But I think I want the Paxton side here.
What about you, Colin?
Yeah, this one's really close, and Evan has a great point about Paxton most likely being the best guy in this trade. But Travis Shaw, he had an incredible year last year, and he didn't even produce at home. So I think going into the year, even if he were to reproduce what he did last year, it wouldn't be necessarily a disappointment. But if he could improve on his home numbers, then he could find himself in the top five of third basemen for the whole year. And at the time, Jacob Faria, he was struggling. Last year, he was a darling, picked him up off the waiver wire. He helped a lot of teams make it to the playoffs. And like you said, Evan, there's always that injury concern with James Paxton. So I think for me, I think I want to take the potential with Shaw. And even if Faria doesn't pan out, maybe I can replace him with someone else. Maybe I can flip him for the next up-and-coming star. I know the potential is there for James Paxton, but I think I'm going to take the consistency with Travis Shaw.
Yeah, for me, this is a tough trade because I love Paxton. I also love Travis Shaw. You know, it's like you said, Travis Shaw didn't produce at home last year. Kind of expected to see the same thing. He's come out the gates a little bit slow. You know, he's hitting sub. I think he's hitting .224 on the year. He doesn't have any stolen bases. I believe those will come. His average will come up at least 50 points, I believe, as the year grows on. Paxton, I still think that Paxton's got top 20 pitcher potential, provided that he stays healthy. Obviously, you know, that's a huge caveat for someone like him. But in a 20-team league, to have someone who's a top 20 pitcher that's already a number one in your books, and to likely have him, who's probably going to end up being your number two or three pitcher, he gives you great upside when he's in there. He's going to give you a lot of strikeouts. He's going to give you good ratios. Obviously, he threw a no-hitter the other day. He's on a team that continues to improve from year to year, has better defense behind him. So I think that as he keeps pitching, you're going to see improvements in those numbers. Yes, he's a little bit older. Travis Shaw and Jake Faria are both younger players, and they do have upside. Obviously, you've seen Faria improve from the beginning of his season. I think for me, in a bigger league than this, obviously it depends on what you need, but if you're able to get away with picking up someone somewhat decent in this type of league, or if you are able to get someone that's being thrown away from the other team because of making a two for two, basically, I think Paxton's the way to go with this. The only reason that you may not want to do it is if you need power from Travis Shaw.
The one thing, and you guys were talking about Travis Shaw just at home, he's kind of struggled against lefties so far. He doesn't have a home run against southpaws. He usually will hit, a handful, 4 to 5. He's hitting .135 off of them right now. But as far as, you look at his profile against righties, he's not striking out as much against them. Playing with the split tool, I can't take out 2018. Right? I mean, I could, but it's just not in the constructs of time. He's probably about a 23.5% strikeout rate. This year, he's about 17. So which one do you think is kind of going to give first? But it's not a bad haul. I mean, I'm not saying that I hate Travis Shaw. I'm just not a Faria guy.
Yeah, I think he's the wild card in this entire group. And obviously, it's because Shaw and Paxton are so close. Faria is the type of player that could potentially give you top 45 starting pitcher upside, but you don't know if you're going to be able to see it. He tailed off at the end of last year. Teams started to seemingly figured him out. He's had a couple starts this year where he's got hit pretty hard. Obviously, he's in a division that has Toronto, the Yankees, and the Red Sox, all of who will have decent to good offenses. And he's on a Rays team that's not going to get you a lot of wins. So if you're in a wins league, obviously not everyone enjoys those, but you're less likely to get wins from him from that. Yeah, a quality start league is going to be better for him. But it's not like he's got a great team behind him. There's going to be a chance that, the defense isn't always great. I think that if he's able to give you top 45 to top 50 upside consistently, he could be someone who is at least a decent back-end pitcher in this deep of a league.
Yeah, and that's the thing that I agree with, is it being a 20-team league. You know, you have to have those flyer-type pitchers at the end of your roster that you can, I guess, stream, more like just play the matchups. But, you know, he's a guy, if he's not playing, you know, some of the guys in his division, if he's playing outside of his division, he's playing the AL Central or someone like that, then, you know, he could provide that quality start and possibly get you a win. So, yeah, with Travis Shaw, I just think he's going to improve from his numbers from last year. And, you know, Paxton always has that injury bug that might catch him again this year.
All right, why don't we move into the next trade, and that's going to be talking about Carlos Correa, Ian Desmond, and Sean Manaea for Paul Goldschmidt, Elvis Andrus, and Jose Berríos. This was sent in to us by Jorge Montañez. This is a 10-team points league, which is a redraft. So, Evan, what are your thoughts on this deal? Obviously, Berríos has faltered a little bit from his early start. Andrus is hurt. Goldie hasn't performed, but neither has Desmond. So which side are you preferring in this deal?
Yeah, the one, like, good, not that Goldie is not a good player, you know, these other people aren't good, is Carlos Correa. And I think that's the side that I go, even though I'm not a huge fan of Ian Desmond. I think there's a lot of smoke and mirrors if you start, like, really unpacking his numbers and what he's got going on right now. Manaea, you know, also after, you know, throwing the no-hitter, has kind of encountered his own rocky stretch. So it's kind of lining the guys up, you know, Manaea, Berríos. I don't think the delta between those two is as big as we probably thought there would be at the draft table. Probably a little bit closer. Andrus is the wild card here, if we're going to pin a wild card, because as far as how he's going to be when he gets back from the injury, I mean, maybe our resident Rangers fan can let us know what to expect in that department. As far as expecting people in departments, I expect Goldie to just do better all the way around and not suck. Like, I understand the humidor is there, but it shouldn't really, you know, affect all of his numbers. Like, he should still be a decent guy. But I really do love Carlos Correa as far as an overround guy. I think you put his numbers up against Goldie, and I think they're kind of a wash. And then you take a look at everything else, and I think I'm going to go Manaea and Desmond over Andrus and Berríos. But Berríos, whatever.
Yeah, for me, I don't really know what's up with Goldschmidt. I don't know why he only has, at this point to date, including today's game, he only has 12 RBIs. He's hitting .227, and yeah, I get that teams that are hitting in Arizona are hitting roughly 50 points or less than what they were last year, and obviously the humidor comes into play. It's also going to keep getting warmer as the year goes on. Obviously, it is Arizona, so it is warm, but it will get warmer. But I don't know what's making him not be able to hit with people on base, people in scoring position. Obviously, he's striking out at a higher rate than he has his entire career, but he just doesn't seem to be performing as a hitter in general, and obviously, the batting average is a big culprit of that. If he was hitting 70 points higher, I would presume that those 12 RBIs maybe go up to, I don't know, 19, 22, somewhere in there, and then everyone would say, oh, you know what? He's not having a terrible year. Yeah, he doesn't have as much power, but that's what we expected. You know, people may expect that he only has, like, 27 home runs. But because of everything else that he's able to do, you're happy. For whatever reason, he's going to be undervalued at this point because of it. Andrus is a player who I like, but it would be nice to see him back. We still got to wait another at least 3 weeks, I think, before we even see him, and I think that's being overly optimistic. And Jose Berríos is someone who I like, but it's a shame that he can't string it together for a much longer period of time. Desmond's someone who I was not a big fan of coming into this year. Sean Manaea is someone who I think is overperforming and tops out like a top 35, top 40 overall pitcher for the entire year. So it comes down to what do I expect from Carlos Correa compared to everyone else on the other side? And as much as I like Correa, I think that this is I think for this, I have to go with the Goldie side just because I think that Goldie will improve. When Andrus is back, he's going to be better than what Desmond is. And I think that Berríos is a better pitcher than Manaea when it's all said and done. So I think that those three are going to outweigh the production that Carlos Correa and Sean Manaea are likely going to be able to give you. And because it's a redraft and it's only 10 teams, Ian Desmond's a likely droppable. So I don't think you guys would disagree with that.
No, yeah, that's perfectly fine with me. And, you know, I looked at this trade and I saw Carlos Correa, and like Evan said, he's the best player in this deal. So it's hard to trade away the best guy in the deal. But like you said, Ben, I mean, getting Goldschmidt, who we know is going to improve, this is probably one of the worst months that he's going to have. I mean, he had a month like this last year in July where he hit three home runs and only had 12 RBIs. But he still hit 313, so he wasn't really killing you. And we've seen it from time and time again. It's not like Goldie has been showing us smoke, you know, for the past 4 or 5 years. He's been dominant. He's been the top first baseman in the game for that, you know, for that long. So he's going to improve. And, you know, Elvis Andrus, like I was saying in the preseason, I don't think he's going to improve or repeat his power numbers that he showed last year. However, he is leaps and bounds above Ian Desmond, especially because Ian Desmond is so frustrating. I mean, he's showed flashes in Washington. He had a great year in Texas, and he goes to the best hitting park in the league and just cannot perform. He cannot stay on the field, and whenever he's on the field, he gets beat out by, you know, David Dahl and Ryan McMahon, and, you know, he goes 0-for-3 like every other day. So he's a very frustrating player to own, and like you said, he's probably droppable. And then for me, Berríos and Manaea, it's Berríos for me, as far as the difference there. I just think that, you know, he showed his improvements last year after he got his cup of coffee in 2016, and he started off this season great. He was on fire, and, you know, he's kind of come down to earth a little bit, but I think that his production for the rest of the season will outweigh what Sean Manaea will give you for the rest of the season. I think the best is behind Manaea. So the Goldie side for me, and even though I'm giving up Correa, I think the return that I'm getting for him is more than enough.
All right. A, of course, the best of Manaea is behind him because I don't see another no-hitter in his future. Two, and yes, I did that on purpose, was that I would be shopping Ian Desmond the second that this trade is finalized. I would try and find somebody to take something, and I would take my Carlos Correa ball and be fine.
What's the best that you can get for Ian Desmond?
I mean, he got thrown in a trade like this. Find another trade and throw him on as an add-on and say, hey, he's finally hitting home runs and he plays in Coors. And, you know, he was a shit batting average to begin with, so you should have just expected that and, you know, hope somebody buys.
So basically say the same thing that we've been saying for the past 2 years for Ian Desmond, and hopefully someone finally believes it.
I mean, there's people that will just say, oh, yeah, Coors. Like, they follow it like a freaking bug zapper. Like, they even guys that they know they should stay away from, they still are, oh, but that Coors upside, man. I think you could still find somebody, and it just, you know, target the guy who doesn't pay as much attention and is not looking at the underlying statistics. Just, you know.
I think
it's home runs.
I think we have a better chance of finding someone to take Ronaldo Lopez, as we talked about in our other show the other day, that doesn't understand what FIP is, than someone taking Ian Desmond.
Hey, man. Careful. First baseman who's going to hit you, you know.
Six 20. Home runs?
He's hit six home runs already. I know. So
yep, that's all he'll get.
That's all he's going to get because he's going to get hurt.
I'll take the over. Done. Done deal.
And let me put this out there. Obviously, this trade was sent to us. This is, I think, now roughly a week and a half to 2 weeks old. The only reason we haven't been able to get to it sooner was because we didn't have a show. But obviously, not a lot has changed during the course of when this trade was sent to us to where we are now. So I think that the fact that everyone is still holding course, it's still likely that we're all sticking with it. Even if we had given this answer 2 weeks ago, I would have still given the same answer. I think everyone else would have as well.
Definitely.
While we move into next trade, and we're going to be talking about Collins heartthrob Scott Kingery and Manny Margot for Elvis Andrus. This is a 12-team Dynasty Points League. So, Colin, what are your thoughts on this trade? And let's try to be biased, because obviously this affects you, because it was your trade.
Yes, so, you know, I kind of went against the grain, and I traded away my boy, Scott Kingery, and Manny Margot for Elvis Andrus. So, in this league, I was able to get some good prospects on my roster that I can just kind of stash away, but one of my glaring holes was shortstop. And with the way that Gabe Kapler is manipulating his lineup, he cannot figure out where he wants to bat Scott Kingery. He bats him, I think he's batted in the position 1 through 9 at least one time this whole year. So with that being said, and with Manny Margot being beat out by Franchi Cordero and barely seeing the field or producing, even with Will Myers on the DL, I wanted to pull the trigger on the Andrus owner and get him on the cheap for a guy that was drafted in the 4th round in most redraft leagues, let alone dynasty leagues, and basically guarantee that production that I'm going to get, granted that he's healthy whenever he comes back from his injury. I can see at least 10 home runs from him to kind of finish out the year, and possibly even 20 steals with a 300 average, and that's just too valuable to get for two underperforming players in Kingery and Margot.
What are your thoughts, Evan?
It looks like Scott Kingery has not batted 4th from what I'm looking at. So just, you know, fact checking and doing those things.
Somebody's got to do that.
And not paying attention. Yeah, that's what I do. So the biggest thing for me, and we kind of hinted at this because the same guy was in the last trade, is kind of what you think Andrus is going to do. And we saw the big power breakout from him, quote unquote, big power outbreak from him last year. And obviously the elbow injury, which is not good. It's kind of the same injury that AJ Pollock had. And obviously, given what AJ Pollock has done this year, just bashing home runs, I think he's got 11 so far this year. And he only hit, 14 last year? I mean, that shows how much an injury like that can sap a guy's power. I'm saying this all sarcastically and tongue in cheek, but honestly, if that was one of the biggest boosts in Andrus's value, I think that I would rather have the Kingery and Margot side, because I think they are kind of underperforming, but you've got, younger, more exciting talent. Margot's not going to steal as many bases as Andrus. Kingery, I mean, Kepler's, after what happened that first series with Atlanta, I think everything he does is just kind of tainted under this, like, what the fuck is he doing, you know, type viewpoint. But I think I would rather take the 2 instead of the 1 and not have to worry about, you know, what is Elvis Andrus going to look like when he's finally back on the field.
Yeah, for me, I think the only reason I'm leaning Andrus is because of how the points league system is formatted. Until Kingery starts performing and actually hitting at a better clip, it's tough to take him in this type of league because he's going to strike out a lot, and if he's not getting on base, he's not going to generate a lot of points. Yes, Elvis Andrus did strike out a lot last year, but if the injury does sap some of his power, he may revert more to his older ways, in which he doesn't try to hit for as much power and may try to hit for more contact and more average, which would allow you to see higher points. He's still going to get a lot of runs. He's still going to likely get you stolen bases, which would offset what Kingery's able to do. As for Margot, people expected him to be maybe a 13th home run, 25 steal type guy, but he's not hitting at a great clip right now. There's a lot of upside with both Margot and Kingery, so if you want the upside side, then that's the way to go. But I think I would go with the more proven side in Elvis Andrus.
Yeah, and like Ben said, I think Elvis Andrus can can kind of revert back to his old ways if the power doesn't come back, like you said, Evan, due to the injury. I think he can revert back to being a contact hitter, you know, bump that average back up to the 300, 320 range, and still provide the steals. So even if he loses the home run power, he's still going to make up for that in average and make up for that in steals and still provide the counting stats that you need.
All right, why don't we move on to the next trade, and this is one of our bigger ones that we have. This is Ian Desmond, Mike Trout, Aaron Nolan, and Ahmad Rosario for Brandon Morrow, Chris Sale, Nelson Cruz, and Charlie Blackmon. This is a 12-team Dynasty 7x7 league. So, Evan, what is your thought? Which side are you leaning here?
I obviously lean the Mike Trout side. You take the best player... I don't know. The Millville Meteor is pretty awesome. As far as, okay, Dynasty, like Cruz, you kind of put a number on him. And Brandon Morrow, even though he's had a fantastic season, we can go ahead and kind of put the Deadpool watch on his arm going forward. Sale is amazing. And obviously Charlie Blackmon, even though the possibility of him not being in Colorado, I guess, exists. I mean, I still think he's a pretty good player. But I do love me some Nola, and Ahmed Rosario's, I mean, a Met, but he's not bad, I guess. I'm still just taking Mike Trout and running and not kind of looking at the rest, because I don't think it shakes out too bad in the long run, as long as you got Michael Nelson Trout.
And what about you, Colin?
So I was actually in this deal. My team is built to win now, and I haven't owned Trout in this league, so I wanted to go get him whatever it took. And this deal was actually with Donnie Miller, who has who's the co-host here whenever he's not in school. So he was hard to deal with because he wanted a heavy ransom for Mike Trout, as most Trout owners should ask for. He was very reluctant to throw in Aaron Nola. However, that's why I started to throw in like a Brandon Morrow type, because like you said, Evan, I think, you know, in a dynasty league, he's going to be great this year. But even as a starter, whenever he was a highly touted prospect, you know, he always had that injury bug. He always had that injury concern. And we've only seen it basically in the postseason last year with LA, and then for the first part of this year where he's been a dominant quote unquote closer. So I wasn't really, you know, too reluctant to throw him in the deal. Chris Sale is always hard to part with. Nelson Cruz is aging, so I only have maybe this year left of his production. And then Charlie Blackmon, you know, he's been great, but he's also getting up there in age. So the opportunity for me to get Mike Trout and Aaron Nola was my main focus, was getting younger with Mike Trout and Aaron Nola. And then Ahmed Rosario, like you said, he is a Met. However, if they are smart and they start moving him up the lineup towards the top, he can get on base. He can produce with runs. You know, he's always had good plate discipline, so he might even be able to bump up his average a little bit. And Ian Desmond was just a throw-in, like we talked about earlier. He's kind of just a throw-in type player, most likely to ride my bench, and I might just play the matchups. But anytime you can go and get Trout, anytime you have the firepower to get him, like Evan said, you gotta go all in and try and get him.
Hey, it's a good thing Rosario moves up the lineup, but the Mets still have to remember that it's his spot and he's supposed to be batting. So, I mean, there is that.
For me, this is a tough trade because obviously the Sale Blackmon side, you get a lot more value than you do the other side, because the other side to me is basically just Trout and Aaron Nola, and the Sale side, all four players I think are pretty usable. As of right now, I don't think that Desmond's a very usable player, and I don't think Ahmad Rosario is a very usable player at this time. He's got to learn to be more patient, and he's got to learn to actually make contact. And at this time, he's going to keep hitting ninth in the lineup, so I'm not sure how useful that would be for counting stats. So it basically depends if you want the best player in the deal and Mike Trout, or if you want the better overall completion of players or compilation of players. And I personally think that I would take the Sale side just because as much as I like getting the best player in the deal, I think I could do a lot more damage with those four players, in which I could also probably end up trading someone like a Blackman and a Cruz, or Blackman and some other player, or Sale and some other player, to be able to still get a top-tier guy because of the value that those two guys specifically bring to the table. I don't think it's necessary to give both of them up, plus someone who I consider a top 10 closer, and Nelson Cruz, who is a pretty consistent top 50 bat year in and year out. Yes, he doesn't have a lot of years left, but he is someone who is consistent, just so that you can upgrade to get to Mike Trout. And this is obviously without knowing what the rest of the team is, but the downgrade from Noah to Sale is roughly 12 to 15 spots for me, even in the dynasty. So I think that I would have to go with the Sale side.
I think that's too much of a gap that you're giving the Sale and Nola, especially in a dynasty. I would yeah. It would be a lot closer in a redraft, but I think, you know, Nola's right on the tail of Sale, probably top eight for me, especially in a dynasty.
I can't put him in that category just because I think that there's other pitchers with more upside, or players who are a little bit older that I think are still have at least 2 or 3 years of consistency left. And that's how I look at dynasty leagues. Some people look at windows of what they'll be able to do for 3 to 5 years. I typically look at what they'll be able to do 1 to 3 years, because I anticipate that with how much trading I'm able to do, I'll be able to move on from a player within that 1 to 3 years. And you have to look at the short term, and you always want to put the best team forward. And I think that while Noah is a great player, I think that there's other players that I could have that are ahead of him at this time. Why don't we move into the next trade? And that's going to be talking about Freddie Freeman and Marcus Stroman for Mookie Betts in a 12-team Dynasty Points League. So, Evan, what are your thoughts on this trade?
My thoughts on this trade are that points leagues are stupid, because I just don't play a whole lot of them, and there may be a quote-unquote standard. I don't know what it is. Stroman, I have zero interest in as far as this year. I think he's not healthy. I think that I just don't know what to expect from him, even if he did, you know, end up on the DL and missed, you know, 2.5 weeks, which is probably one of the better things for him at this point in time. So Freddie Freeman versus Mookie Betts, as a Braves homer as I am, you know, even with Freeman going yard tonight, I still think I'd take Mookie and just kind of go from there.
Colin, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, this is Mookie Betts in a landslide. I don't think that the difference between Freddie Freeman and Mookie Betts is just Marcus Stroman, because like Evan said, you know, Stroman is basically, you know, replaceable, especially in a 12-team dynasty league. You know, I can get someone off the waiver wire that can provide me with better stats than what he's shown this year. And I've never believed in him as like a strikeout pitcher, and he's always been a high whip guy. So what is he really providing you besides innings? And that's if he doesn't get blown up on the way to getting to,
and that's the points league aspect of it.
Yeah. So I think, you know, if you can get Mookie Betts by just giving up Freeman and then Stroman, give me that all day, because, you know, he's shown at the beginning of this year, I know he's had two kind of off the wall kind of games with 2-3 home run games, but you know, even take those out, he still has 7 home runs so far. You know, he's got a .340 batting average. He's batting leadoff for one of the best offenses in the league. And he's an awesome player. He's 5-tool talent, everything. So, yeah, if I can get Mookie Betts by just giving up Freeman and Stroman, I'm going to do it 10 times out of 10.
For me, I would agree with you guys. If this was a trade that was brought to me before the season started, I probably would have considered this a little more tightly contested, but I probably still would have gone with the Mookie side. But now Stroman has just had only one decent outing on the entire year, and it wasn't all that great. But he hasn't done anything to show that he's, you know, got a grip of what he's able to do on the mound this year. Obviously, he's going to improve. He's not going to have like a 7-plus ERA for the entire year. I don't even expect him to have a 5 ERA for the entire year. I could see it coming down to him putting together a, you know, 5 good quality starts in a row, but I don't know what's up with him right now that he has just absolutely no feel while he's on the mound. And as good as Freeman is, I think you have to go Mookie Betts, because Mookie Betts is, you know, a top 5 overall dynasty player, and you know, there's a good chance he's even top 4 overall. So I don't think there's really any discussion there. While we move into the last trade that we have for the evening, and that's going to come to us courtesy of TJ Mealy, another listener. This is Zach Godley and Shane Green for James Paxton. This is a 10-team head-to-head category redraft league. So, Colin, which side would you prefer?
So, since this is a 10-team league, I think Shane Green is, you know, borderline rosterable. He plays for a terrible team. He won't provide you with very many save chances. And if he does, there's no guarantee he's going to close it, because he, you know, he only showed us a little bit of closing abilities last year, and he doesn't provide that many strikeouts as well. So basically, in context, it's just Zach Godley for James Paxton. And in that case, James Paxton's the better pitcher. You know, Zach Godley has had a, you know, a rough start to the season. He showed some flashes last year, and James Paxton is lighting the world on fire with a 16K game and then a complete game no-hitter as well. And, you know, even with the injury bug, which we talked about at the beginning of the show, I still think that the potential for James Paxton is much, much higher than the potential for Zach Godley. So, you know, Shane Green, he probably won't even make the roster. He'll be dropped within, you know, a week or two. So for me, it's just James Paxton or Zach Godley, and it's Paxton.
I also agree that it's Paxton, because in a 10-team league, this is very similar to what we had discussed with a player like Ian Desmond. He's someone that I'm likely not rostering, and if I am, he's going to be on my bench. Now, obviously, you don't put closers on your bench in a 10-team league, but because I was able to see what the pitching staff for TJ was, this would be his fourth closer, and I don't think that he necessarily needs to get a fourth closer, given what talent he has already, and considering that there's a good chance that if there's a player who's better on the wire, Shane Green is likely dropped, which makes this deal than Zach Godley for James Paxton. I think with how we approached James Paxton earlier in the podcast, you would say that we're extremely high on him, all three of us, and as good as Zach Godley is, I don't think Zach Godley can even break into a top 25 pitcher. I don't think he has the same K rate potential as what Paxton does. I don't think he has the same ratio percent chance of what Paxton does. So for those reasons, I can't, in the right mind, state that I would go for the 2-for-1 here. And I think I would hold on to Paxton if I were TJ. What about you, Evan?
Sorry, I was in one of my rabbit holes because, fun fact, in case you missed the little nugget on the Kuhn and Friends podcast about Colin watching Ben sleep, we missed a show because there was a nap involved, and that show would have involved some leaderboard trivia, and Zach Godley would have been one of the answers, and at that point in time, I was just checking to make sure that this information was still correct, and I believe it's changed a little bit. So Zach Godley was the person in the major leagues who had the lowest O contact percentage, which meant that batters were not hitting his out of the zone stuff, but had the highest Z contact percentage. So his stuff in the zone is getting hit. As of right now, Carlos Carrasco has actually dipped below him in the O contact percentage, just barely. But Godley is still getting hit in the zone. Oh, actually, Sal Romano is beating him now at 94%. So congratulations. So he's now second in these leaderboards. He's a very interesting talent, a guy that I obviously wanted to hear more about from you guys, and you know we're kind of diving into these numbers a little bit, but we've already talked about how awesome Paxton is, and I don't think there's really anything else to look at. Green, you know, 10-team head-to-head categories, like if a closer in that is kind of just a crapshoot. Like they could get two, they could get one, they could get four. Like you have no idea, and I would just rather bet on skills, and I think Paxton has it in bunches. So that's where I'm going here.
Yeah, I don't think that there is really any discussion that we could hold that Green is a viable player for this type of trade. I think you'd have to get up almost a, given the fact it's a head-to-head, I think you'd almost have to get up to 16 teams for Shane Green to be able to become an actual factor into this trade. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. Just as far as like, so you think about a 10-team, so each team is probably rostering, what, three closers, I would say. So, and he's your fourth. What, you think that's going to give you a edge in the save category? I don't think that it's necessary. Like you said, if it's a 16-team league and you're spreading them a little thinner, then okay, we can talk. But I just think with it being as shallow as it is and the category aspect, I don't think he's moving the needle for you as much as you think.
Yeah, as of right now, looking at what TJ has on his team, he has Vizcaino, Felipe Vázquez, and Ken Giles. So obviously Ken Giles isn't someone who's overly trusted out in Houston, but he's still going to get you saves. Vizcaino is going to get you saves, and so is Vázquez. And based on the rest of the pitchers that are on the team, you're not going to be benefited from taking Paxton out and adding Zach Godley. So there's obviously not going to be any improvement there, and adding Shane Green isn't going to necessarily give you any save improvement because all of those guys are considered better tier closers compared to some of the other ones. You know, if you were like rostering a Fernando Rodney and someone like a Blake Treinen or a Brad Ziegler or someone of that nature, someone who wasn't getting a lot of work, then I could understand you maybe trying to add an extra closer because of that. But based on the tier of closers that you have, adding someone like Shane Green just kind of makes him a droppable type player when you have to stream someone. Do you agree with that, Colin?
Kind of. I mean, I think we're all on the same page that getting Godley back for Paxton isn't enough, so you definitely would have to replace Green with either a bat that you can use in your lineup or a better closer. But I think that Green actually slides into his closers. They all look the same to me, actually. You know, Green, I think, is on the same level as Ken Giles because, like you said, Ken Giles isn't trusted in Houston. I also don't think that Vizcaino has a very large, long leash in Atlanta. I know Evan can kind of piggyback on that just because of the factor of A.J. Minter being there. So it's really Felipe Vázquez in one tier, and then if you want to add Shane Green as your questionable tier with Giles and Vizcaino, then it's just kind of muddying the waters. I mean, you're just hoping that one of them can get you a couple saves in a week if it's a weekly league, or you're just kind of playing the matchups, which is so hard to do with closers as well. So for me, you'd have to get someone of value, like we've been saying, back with Godley in order to make this trade.
And I'm in a league in which I actually have four closers. I think, if I recall correctly, I've called May Strickland, Brad Hand, and someone else. I can't recall off the top of my head who I have, but I have four closers. And it's a head-to-head league with categories. I don't see a huge difference for what I'm getting every week in saves. And I have Boxberger as well. So, and that's even with Boxberger and Hand having good seasons and Strickland having a good season, I still don't see a huge difference from having a fourth closer on my team. So for me, it's like you said, it's just muddying the waters. I think that at this point, you'd be better off getting a hitter. And if you're not getting a hitter, then you're better off getting another pitcher of some value. Now, obviously, it's a redraft, so the player that they got to get, if they want to pay up for someone like James Paxton, who's had back-to-back really, really good starts and just is coming off a no-hitter, then they're going to have to give someone up a pretty decent value to balance that trade out. All right, Colin, why don't you tell our listeners where you can be reached on Twitter and what you're working on?
You can find me at CWeatherWax13. Again, we'll take your trades. You can DM them to me. You can tweet them at me. We'll try and get them on the next show that we do. I do the Push Accept podcast once a week with Ben Brennis and whoever our guest is that week. Thank you, Evan, for jumping on with us. I also join the Kuhn and Friends podcast with Ben, Evan, and Ray Kuhn. And then once a week, we do the Dirt Dogs podcast with myself, Mike the Rotocop, and Randy Haynes.
And what about you, Evan?
You can find me at EvFWFB, my ADD rants, annoying Ben on the Kuhn and Friend podcast, and getting ready for football. I mean, that's kind of coming up, and it's at that point where you start doing the early legwork. I'm not 100% sure what we're going to be tackling on the Friends with Fantasy Benefits end, but if you ever want to talk sports, you know where to find us on the Twitter. So, thanks for having me on, guys. It was a blast.
Hey, Evan, real quick before we sign off, number one overall pick in an NFL draft this year, redraft, who are you taking?
Todd Gurley. And that's not even the UGA fan in me. I was just really impressed with what he did with the receiving stuff last year. I think the Rams are going to be just a really good team. And I'm not worried about, like, injury-type stuff. Like, I mean, Le'Veon Bell's had more damaging stuff than Gurley's ever had. So, yeah, I'd probably go that route.
I had pegged him as a Kamara guy. That's who I pegged as him, as Evan wanting to take first overall.
One of my favorite things I did see, it was a picture of Mark Ingram standing on the sidelines next to Derrick Henry in that national championship game, and Henry's got all the pads on, and Mark Henry, who's, you know, a pretty buff dude, is standing next to him in his street clothes, and he's, like, looking over, and the top says, that moment when you knew you were going to need PEDs. And I just absolutely died laughing. So, yeah, point and laugh at the ain'ts. Why don't we?
And I can be reached at BBrandisFWFB. As Colin says, you can reach us out to us for trades for this Push Accept podcast. You can also find me on the Kuhn and Friends podcast with Evan, Ray, Kuhn, and Colin. You can also find me throughout the off season on the Fantasy Basketball Podcast, joined by Eric Mackey, and when football starts, you can find me on one of the football podcasts. Evan, once again, appreciate you being able to jump on. We look forward to having you on our show again soon, and from the rest of us at Friends with Fantasy Benefits, have a great baseball season, everyone.